Brethren, today I wanted to very quickly do a message that I'm sure the ladies will appreciate. And I say this facetiously because maybe yes, maybe no. But anyway, I want you to turn with me to a scripture in 1 Peter 3. And I'm sure you'll all be aware of it. And we want to look at this a couple of different ways, because in some ways it can sound a little bit oppressive, but in other ways it can be a real blessing as well. So let's take a look at this scripture here in 1 Peter 3. We begin reading in verse 5. It says here, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women," brethren, and we're talking to the holy women. We've got a lot of holy women in the church for sure. God looks at you in that way. You are holy women if you're called by him into his church. But again, it says here, "who trusted in God, adorned themselves, thought very much so about their appearance, about the, how they present themselves before God, being in subjection to their own husbands." Oh, wow, we just read being in subjection. That doesn't sound too good, does it? But let's take a look a little bit further about this, brethren, because it is a very positive, positive admonition to the women in the church. It says in verse 6, "And even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." Now, we want to get the scissors out, brethren, and remove that scripture from the Bible, don't we? Most people do. We live in an age of feminism. We live in an age of liberation, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. Brethren, a proper setting, that is a beautiful thing. Because you see, that represents, in type, the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. It really does. Now, when we look at it from that perspective, we realize what a high requirement is placed on the man. Because, brethren, the men in this setting are required to reflect Jesus Christ. Absolutely. That's not a low calling, brethren. Now, it's easy to throw rocks at the men, because how many of us measure up to that high standard and that high calling in every respect? It's something we shoot for. And again, the women in their roles, brethren, with their husbands, and depending on your situation, they have a responsibility as well to respect that office of the man. Because God Almighty, brethren, has placed them in an office to lead, to be an example of a family. And it takes on some of the characteristics of the family of God. And that's what God is planning. Brethren, I want to take at this time and turn over to Revelation, the third chapter, because we go to the end of the age. And we go to a church era, which is predominant at the end of the age. And some kind of a breakdown has taken place at the end of the age, brethren, in the church of God in certain respects. And we want to be on guard to make sure that that does not affect us, because we want to have the example that Peter was talking about, where there's a complete coming together of Christ and the church, of the human men, the men in the church and their wives, coming together as a complete unified unit as God intended. So we come to verse 14 of Revelation, the third chapter, and it says, "To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans." And again, brethren, we understand that Laodicea is predominant. It doesn't mean that there are no Philadelphians. There are Philadelphians, brethren, among God's people and among God's church, still holding on to those characteristics. But we want to take a look at the word Laodicea. Where did it come from? What does it mean? What does it mean, brethren? You can go to your Strong's exhaustive concordance, and you will find the word Laodicea comes from 2993. Now, initially, it is identified as a place in Asia Minor. But that doesn't identify the word. The word is from a compilation of two Greek words. Very interesting. God names things as they are. He names them for a purpose. He names them for a reason. So that word, brethren, is broken down into two Greek words. The first one is laos. Laos, L-A-O-S. It comes from the Greek 2992. It means, simply, brethren, a people. It's a people. Well, the church is people, of course. Now, it's a people. And in a bigger sense, if it was the city of Laodicea, it would be one's own populace. Now, the second part of this word, brethren, comes from the word dike, D-I-K-E, and that's 1349 in Strong's exhaustive concordance. And it says, a right as self-evidence, justice, the principle, a decision, or its execution. Now, you put that together, brethren, in simple terms, it means the people rule, judge, decide. And you will read, I'm not going to go there at this point, we don't have enough time, but it says in verse 20 of Revelation, the third chapter, it says that Jesus Christ is depicted as being outside of this church, knocking on the door. Now, if you take that, brethren, that picture, it looks like the church no longer respects the husband, who is Jesus Christ. Doesn't want him among them. And so you see, there is a separation. Now, brethren, typically, that breaks and violates what we just read in 1 Peter 3, verse 16, where it says, the woman, typically the church, is to consider the husband, who is Jesus Christ, as the Lord. And then it becomes functional. You see, brethren, the danger is in the end of the age, we have an entire church era that is in danger of becoming dysfunctional because it's separated from the head. Now, let's go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and how it needs to be, how it must be, brethren. Now, it's very hard, brethren. I mean, you know, you talk to the ladies, you say, well, you know, maybe my husband's not converted or whatever, and it's very hard to honor him, to consider him as being the leader of the household because he's derelict for one reason or another, and you just try to make the situation work the best you can. But in other instances, brethren, there are men in the church who try to fulfill the role, the office of the head of the household. They try. And in so doing, brethren, the ladies, you know, can be blessed by respecting that effort to try and not always getting it right, of course, but the effort to try to grow and to go forward. Here, brethren, is the way it's supposed to be. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Pretty tall order, isn't it, brethren? But you know what God's doing here? He's giving us a recipe of how to make things work better. When we fulfill our roles, both men and women, things work ever so much better. Satan, brethren, in the end of the age is trying to destroy the family. The basic building block of any society is the family. Satan knows it. And you know what he's trying to knock out above all else? The family structure. So the kids grow up without a husband or without a father or a mother. And things begin to break down and becomes difficult. God's way is, brethren, it's unity. Unity, the body, the head attached to the body, symbolically speaking, as the church depicts. Continuing, it says, verse 23, for the husband is head of the wife. It says what it says, and it is what it is, brethren. In a beautiful relationship, that can really be fantastic. We are to reflect the world tomorrow. In so many ways, brethren, but also within our families. We strive to do that. It's a high calling. Even as Christ, he brings in the comparison, Christ is the head of the church. Not like it talks about to Laodicea, where it sort of gives a picture where there's a separation, not fully following the head who is Jesus Christ. It's quite remarkable. Christ is the head of the church, and he is, brethren, think about this. He is the Savior of the body. Do we men look at our wives as a responsibility to try to save them, help them, protect them, defend them, do everything we can, lay down our lives for our wives and our children to be like Christ, a tall order? It says in verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, as it needs to be, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, we started out this, brethren, we're talking about the responsibility of the ladies to look at the husband and to, in a sense, not actually, you know, you don't go around saying, well, I'm not going to come in the house unless you call me Lord. But you look at it from that perspective. Do you look at him, or do you consider him as holding an office that's been given by God Almighty, and we are responsible to respond to that? But brethren, the biggest thing here begins with the men. It absolutely does. And it's in the next verse, because it says here, husbands, love your wives. You can't go wrong with that, brethren. Love is an outflowing concern. It's a power that will help translate humanity into spirit beings of the divine family of God. It's a beginning, brethren. We can begin with this stuff and start to think about it and really implement it, brethren. This is God's way of life, and it works if done properly, brethren. Let's strive for the highest calling possible.